Trish and Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
We'll start in three, two, one.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor
and Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey, who is also known as the disembodied voice. You can go to themysticalunderground.com, where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out all about our books. Among them are The Seven Secrets of Synchronicity, Sensing the Future, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, The Latest Science Stories and Research. Trish's latest novel is Not Quite Human. Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas, a story of mysterious beings created through deep meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Our guest today is J.J. Flowers, who is an award-winning screenwriter, playwright, and author of nonfiction and novels, including Juan Pablo and Butterflies. I have some questions about that. Okay, she's a lifelong yogi and teaches pranayama and metta meditation. She is now the author of the new book, The Spiritual Dog, Emissary of Unconditional Love and Healing. J.J. lives with her family and dogs in Dana Point, California. Welcome, J.J.
Welcome, J.J.
Got into an interesting conversation about your first name.
There are synchronicities involved. And
okay.
What I was sharing with these lovely people is my original name was Jennifer Joy Horseman, which is an awful name for a writer. And my first book got published a long time ago. I was like 22. And just after that, I married my wonderful husband, who is John Flowers. And so I was so excited, and I called up my editor and told her that I would change my name now to Flowers, which is a great name for a writer. And she said, "Oh, no, you can't do that. You're lose all your fans." And at that point, I had like two fans, and I could have just mailed them a letter, you know, explaining the situation. But I went with most of my romance novels are under Jennifer Horseman. And so the year I lost my husband and our beautiful son, John Paul, I wanted to change my name to honor them to Flowers. But at that point, it was a big deal. You know, it was a much bigger deal. And so I was sitting on the beach pondering whether I should do this. And a man walked by with a Flowers on his t-shirt.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so JJ is for John and John Paul. And
Yeah, Trish has some stories about names.
Oh, yeah, I have name karma. So,
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. I started off my maiden name, believe me, was worse than yours. It was Jane Schutz. Nobody could spell it. Nobody could pronounce it. So when I married Rob, I thought, oh, good, now I can be a McGregor.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. So I had done two names under Jane Schutz, and my editor at the time said, okay, Trish, if you're going to start a new series, let's do it under T.J. McGregor. I said, why T.J.? He said, well, Mysteries by Women aren't selling as well as Mysteries by Men. This was back some years. Of course, now I don't think that's true. But anyway, So that's how I became T.J. McGregor. It's just created all kinds of chaos in my life.
Yeah. Do you mention to your listeners that you're an Edgar Award winner, your novels?
So is Rob.
Yeah, both of us. Both of us have won.
I didn't even get that. That's serious.
Yeah, when he won it first, and I think I won 2 years later or something.
Wow.
Okay, let's talk about you.
Yeah, let's talk about you, and let's talk about your book.
And where's your dog?
And she's cruel. She's right here.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I was writing this up to introduce you, I think Google changed it because when I wrote spiritual dog, it came out spiritual God. It flipped it around. So Trisha's reading this, was getting ready to read it, and she said, no, it's not spiritual God, it's dog.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, you have a newfie?
Oh, my life was populated with Newfoundlands. I love Newfoundlands. There's a funny story in the book about my husband and I got my first Newfoundland. But after eight of them, this one, because I moved to a new area, just not far, but where I could just ride my e-bike and I wouldn't have to have a car. So I thought, this time when my dog transitioned, I thought this time I'm going to get a more practical dog. And so Pip, my little dog Pip, showed up. And now I have this a dog I would never have thought that I'd have, which is the way it often is with people. I have found that you do get the dog, that your dog, whoever that wonderful being is, was designed just for you.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Three golden retrievers. And the one we've got now is just, he's the most stubborn dog. Yeah. If you take him to the groomer, he just, nope, I'm not going in. Stops. Yeah. So we had to change the groomer.
Or the vet
stops.
Yeah, they don't like, because some very sensitive dogs, when you take them to the groomer, some dogs are like, they'll do anything if they get a treat and they're fine. But many dogs are very sensitive to energy. And when you bring them into the groomers, you're actually walking into a lot of fear. They rip dogs from their owners, put them in cages, and do all these unpleasant things to them. And so most dogs are just like, and it's, a dog in the book, the book I really focused on, the physiology of dogs. I read every science book written on dogs, and I talked to countless vets and animal communicators too in the writing of this book. But the more you understand dogs, the more you understand that their sense of smell is very much like our sight. And they, when they're in the groomers, people are smearing this very unpleasant smell over their coat. And their coat is their identity. It's how other dogs, and they assume often, people identify them. So you cloak it in. They don't smell the perfume that we smell. They smell the chemicals. And that's why often when you groom your dog, the first thing they do is run out and roll and
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So
and just real quick, agree with everything you just said, but I've always had mixes, rescue dogs basically, but the dog I currently have was brought to me, my niece found it on the side of the road and brought it to me. And the only thing, he's a boxer / knucklehead mix. but around the house, we call him the knucklehead. And there's just no off switch. He keeps life interesting, but I've never had a dog like this before, and this is like my fifth dog. So
one thing I've noticed about dogs that I didn't realize or notice with this dog, Nigel, is that dogs learn from other dogs, because when Nigel was a puppy, he was never afraid of thunder or lightning. But then our daughter dog moved in with us when our daughter moved. So Nika moved in. Nika was terrified of thunder and lightning. And Nigel, as a, like a two, three-year-old, he learned that from Nika. And has, ever since, has been terrorized by thunder.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not quite sure. Dogs do learn from other dogs. They learn everything from other dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the big mistakes humans make is taking them when they're 8 weeks old from their litter. And I really don't think they should be taken till 14 or 16 weeks. Ooh. Because that's the time when they are learning the most from their mother and their litter mates. And the longer you leave them with their litter mates, the less aggression you have. And for many people these days, because everyone's so wound up, their dogs are wound up, and aggression is a problem for many people. And it would just really help if we didn't take them quite so early. But
Nigel doesn't have. He's not the least bit aggressive with anybody. Yeah. If another dog comes up and takes his ball, he just waits till they drop it.
Follow him around and wait. Golden retriever.
Yeah, Newfoundlands are all the retrievers, the labs, that all the retrievers are famously non-aggressive. Right, Newfoundland literally will, if someone attacks them, they'll sit down and wait for the attack to be over. And they, you know, there's so many famous stories of like the story. I had a mad, passionate affair with a policeman before John, and he told the story of someone caught a robber in their house, and he shows up, and the robber is upstairs. He's pinned in the bathroom by their Newfoundland, pinned the guy in the bathroom with holding a football in its mouth, you know, like just looking at him like, you're not going anywhere. And as soon as the police showed up, the dog got up and was like, okay, he's all yours. Yeah. And a Newfoundland it would be very unusual for them to attack someone breaking into your house, but they also wouldn't let them hurt anybody. So,
yeah.
They're so big too, you know.
Yeah. They don't have. Yeah, and for the big dogs, that's usually the rule, because you can't have an aggressive big dog. You just can't. So.
And Nigel and his brother were taken from the litter at 8 weeks old, and they went to a couple who live a few miles away from us. And they both work full time and had the dog, two puppies in cages all day long. And after two, the dogs apparently made a lot of noise all night long. And after 2 weeks, after paying $3,000 for these dogs, they just gave them away. And we were the happy recipient of one of them.
I'm so glad. And he must be so glad that he got you guys. Because that's how dogs really are so grateful when they go from a troubling situation to a happy home.
Yeah.
JJ, what happens when a dog transitions?
Oh, that is the best question. I counsel a lot of people going through grief. Because grief is probably the most powerful spiritual passage most people go through. And with dogs, my guidance gave me something for I could just say it because I know it by heart. I'll just say it. The thing is, all animals are from the angelic realm. And the angelic realm is a dimensional space that is characterized by unconditional love. Love itself is an energy that has, I'm sure you're all spiritualists here, so you're familiar with this, but it's more interesting when we're applying these things to our dog. love is an energy that has many octaves, that the octaves go up to God's source light, to endlessly into infinity. So unconditional love is a very high vibration of love. So all animals are born with that. Dogs are designed to provide us with that. And the way it works is that when we start loving on a dog, our energy systems start syncing with theirs. If you're familiar with the chakra energy system, right. Dogs have chakras too, and these all start pairing. That's why the love, the fun part about it, the most beautiful part about it is when your heart center, heart chakra pairs with your dog's, it amplifies the love, not just the love that you feel, but the love that you're able to give back. Huh. It just works as an amplifier. And that's why often when people lose their dog, when their dog transitions, the grief is sometimes more intense than when we lose people we love. Yeah,
it's true.
It can be very powerful, but it doesn't last as long. That's one of the saving graces. Mm-hmm. But if people only knew what happens, because you had this dog, because animals are very different than us. They're holding that unconditional love. They are not in separation. There is no point in your dog's life or consciousness where they don't understand that they go on. Death is not the same to them. A dog views death as just taking off an old worn coat and stepping into the light. And the light is where all their soul buddies are, all their connections to souls that they love, the humans they love, all their litter mates. You know, it goes on. Most dogs have had many, many lifetimes. Lifetimes as cats, some birds, that's not as common. Horses, very common.
How about squirrels?
My understanding is the actual soul evolution of animals goes from wild animal to domestic. And not all wild animals would ever choose to be a domestic. But some do. And they, I'll share one story before, and then I'll just remind me to get back to what happens when dogs transition. That this lady asked for a reading, and it was this raccoon was visiting her every night at 7 o'clock. The raccoon would show up on her porch and she would fix dinner for him and give him a nice meal. She loved this raccoon. So she wanted me to do a reading. She was wondering if maybe the raccoon had a message for her. Honestly, I think the message was for me. So I read the raccoon, and right away I knew that it had something to do with her grandmother. I said, I'm getting that it has something to do with your grandmother, and that the name, what you named the raccoon, is very important. She got so excited because she happened to name the raccoon Daisy after her grandmother.
Wow.
Yeah. So then Daisy just shows up, and Daisy the raccoon shows up in my mind, and I understood things. It was so deep and beautiful. She's always been a wild animal, and this life a raccoon, but she's thinking about becoming a domestic animal. So she connects to, you know, what to do. It's all a learning process. And she connected to Daisy, this lady's grandma, and she said, oh, go visit my granddaughter. This was all arranged for them. So she began visiting her granddaughter. And what Daisy told me, the raccoon, was the vibration, the love that this lady, she felt that vibration of this lady's love overwhelmed her. And she was able to understand why animals would choose to become, to link their lives to ours. We hold them in that vibration. And it's very powerful for animals, which makes the whole thing so beautiful.
Yeah, it really does.
So would you consider yourself, JJ, a dog whisperer or an animal whisperer?
Oh, well, I just want to finish what for people out there who have lost their dogs, because it really is very beautiful. Okay. So the dog steps into the light and they are happy there. Dogs do not step into the light and look back and miss you. I'm so sorry to tell that to you. But they don't, because they see their life here, the life and the love that they made with you, as something to celebrate. They're so excited about it. It's like what I get over and over again is just like, wow, look at this life. We had so much fun. The walks, the adventures, the love. We made so much love. And they're just so thrilled that all this happened to them and grew their soul and all that. And then they look back, and people, when they're in their grief, just appear as this like gray blob to them. It's very hard for spirits to see sadness, depression, grief. I've seen it many times. It's hard to describe. It's like you just go, oh. As soon as you like raise your vibration to love, everything clips up and they can see. And then they zoom in with all their love. And that's when you can feel your transitioned best buddy. You can feel their love, the energy of their love coming back at you, and you know they're okay. So that it's really very beautiful once you understand the process.
Do they choose to come back to the same humans?
Often, very often. And I have learned that if you request this, if you have like one particular, the first time I heard this, it did, mind blown. I just burst into tears. I was like, I'm just going to get that dog back as soon as possible. So yeah, now I really understand it. If you request it, it's like 99% they will. If they can't do it, they will give you a dog that I promise you, you will love just as much. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. It's very beautiful. Once you're like understanding what's happening, you grasp how powerful love is and how powerful positive thinking is in shaping our life.
Because after Nika died, a friend of ours who's an animal whisperer, said, okay, Nika's coming back to you, and she's going to be born in such and such a place. And it was somewhere in Orlando. And I said, well, when? And it was going to, she died in February of 2023. And it was going to be in the following year, I think it was. And for some reason, we couldn't make it up there at that time. I thought, oh, no, how could this be? I'd missed Nika. Where is she now? You know, I got so annoyed with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, see, that's not the way it happens.
Okay.
No, there's no date. No, you have to trust your guidance and your soul's path. Okay. There's no mistakes. If you couldn't meet that dog for 5 years for whatever reason, that dog is happy up there. They're wait, and they wait for a time. They don't make mistakes. That's, people often think that they have to have some like key, the location that, yeah, that's crazy. Uh-huh. No, the dog you get, the dog, you recognize them when you, everybody has had the experience. This puppy is the first dog where I was not sure. Because I never had a dog like this. And my grandson and what happened was I wasn't even going to get a dog, but this lady stopped me, a stranger, and she goes, where's your dog? And she demanded, like, bossy, like, where's your dog? And I said, oh, she transitioned. She's not with me anymore. She goes, oh, you need a new dog. And she takes out her phone and she goes to this rescue place. And they have three dogs. And two of the dogs are taken. And there's this one dog that was so homely, nobody wanted her. And I thought, oh, this might be a sign. So and she was the right size. You know, I was going to get a small dog this time. And so I didn't know. So my grandson and I went to meet her the next day. And she was in this house zooming, zoom, zoom, zoom. And I thought, oh, my God, the opposite of a Newfoundland. I thought a Newfoundland has never zoomed in their life. They're not zoomers. Yeah. I said, I just threw my hands together and I said, if this dog is meant for me, I need a sign. And Pip stopped. She looked at me. She leaped on my lap. She looked up and then she zoomed off. And I was like, okay.
Okay, my dog.
Yeah. So
back to the question of dogs passing. What about the term Rainbow Bridge? Are you familiar with that?
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah.
Oh, were you? That's funny.
Yeah, because if it doesn't exist, I'm going to be pissed. I've lost so many animals.
It's kind of like a heaven for animals, right? Isn't that the sense?
Well, that's the angelic realm. There are, like, there's groups, collections of souls. So the rainbow, you have to understand, people have to get this. I wish people, Christians, would just understand this, that spirit speaks to us through metaphor. There is nothing, you know, like heaven. What is heaven? It's a dimensional, there's like thousands of dimensions, millions of dimensions, that each dimension, different things happening, different purposes, intentions, etc. Same with spiritual groups. Is there a rainbow bridge? When you transition, and I want your listeners to really hear this, because this is like one of the best parts of the story of dogs and people. When you transition, you will be met by your guides. You will be met by your guardian angel. Sometimes there's more than one of those. You will be met by all the people who have loved you. That number is way bigger than what people are expecting. You just incarnated with a group of people that you love, hopefully, you love and hold close to your heart. But there are so many other people up there that love you so much that reuniting with them is so joyful. It's just like a really, every time I've been there, it's just incredibly beautiful. And then comes the animals you love. Every animal you love will be rushing at you, and there will be a reunion.
God, that's great. That's a lot
of things. Yeah, cats and dogs
and a bird.
And a bird. And you'd be surprised because sometimes dogs do return as cats, and they switch. Uh-huh. And just like some people really prefer a masculine body and others prefer a feminine body for their incarnations, you can't just go on forever with one. You're really encouraged to switch it up. You know, we're here to learn.
Yeah. How about animals as spirit guides? What do you think of that? I mean, are you aware of that?
Okay. Oh, that's just a tough question. I would say that there are some people who do have a spirit animal, but most spirit animals are actually your guides, and they appear to you in this way because it's a common form of identity.
That like shamanism.
Yes.
They are animals, but they're actually spirit guides that are in the form of the animals, you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's usually what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So have any of our pets been our humans, like our daughters, our sons?
Yeah, that is such a great question. Now, I hope people aren't going, okay, this lady just dove off the deep end.
I mean, these are the things that go through my head, though, you know.
Yeah, no, I've gotten guidance on this because I really didn't know. I didn't understand. It was very high light, very high guidance that I know that it's true. Okay, people never ever incarnate as an animal. That does not happen. But what does happen, and what is actually quite common, especially probably for all the people listening to this podcast, is when you're in the spiritual, when you're not in this physical body, you can merge your consciousness with an animal in order to know what their experiences, what their life is. You can even merge your consciousness with a tree. That does happen. And it's very beautiful, very powerful. So you consciousness is unlimited. It's expansive, unlimited. We are constantly learning. We are always looking for experiences from which to learn through. So that does happen. Also what happens, and now we go to the other part, is do animals ever incarnate as people? What I've been told is it has happened, but it is extremely rare.
Huh.
But what is very common is like you lose a loved one. That loved one puts a portion of their consciousness in the animal you get.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to continue delivering love, to watch what's going on, make sure everything's okay.
Huh.
And what's funny about that is when you talk to people, I've talked to dozens of people more than that who say, oh yeah, my cat, I don't know what it is, but it reminds me of my Uncle Charles. And you're like, it does. For whatever reason, people will tend to recognize this. Well, people will recognize it when it happens. A lot of people, you would never know. But
I wonder, do they recognize it because of what the animal eats or how the animal acts? Or, you know, I mean, hey, have a piece of cheese. You know, I mean,
I think it's the energy.
The energy.
Yeah. And when you, like when an animal loves you, it's a very specific energy. Everyone has the most unique, your love is a unique vibration that changes, but it has like a personal signature, animals too. And so when your love meets, it creates a very unique signature. That's how you will know you're getting love, you're being showered with love by an animal who has transitioned. You feel that vibration, your consciousness recognizes it.
I've been surprised that a lot of religious people don't believe that animals have spirits or souls. And, I remember one of my nephews saying, well, the dogs sniff butts. Well, how is that spiritual, you know?
Guy said that.
Yeah, I have no words.
Why do they sniff butts, by the way? We can go there.
Well, okay, I can answer that. That's really it. Your dog, they can smell you. Okay, let's just go through it. They can smell you from 10 miles away. They will smell you. They can smell the dead rat down the block and your neighbor's pie in the kitchen. They smell, like in your living room, a dog can smell your couch hasn't. Unlike us, when we walk into a room or a situation, we smell in a collective, we get a one odor. Dogs smell individual odors. They can smell the your couch. They smell the plant, the dirt. They smell the floor. They can smell the spider in the corner, the bug running along the. These all come to them. But the thing about dogs and their superpower, their sense of smell, is that smelling is a conscious act. They don't walk around smelling. Uh-huh. They only smell when they want information. Otherwise, they couldn't live with this. I mean, our shampoos, the dishwasher, soap, the gas in the car, it would all drive them crazy, you know.
Well, that's why, I mean, on our way into the dog park, Nigel always stops first to sniff the grass. There's always particular areas where he goes to that. You know, he's totally captured by whatever he's smelling.
Yeah, it brings an image in their mind, uh-huh. just their eyes do. And like the information they get from their dogs, you know, this is a very interesting little known fact that there's a genetic sequence that only canines share with people. Only people and canines. Wolves don't have it. Coyotes don't have it. None of their close relatives have it. Only dogs. And that is the social, it's for socializing.
Huh.
Dogs are the most, a healthy dog loves other dogs in the same way a healthy person enjoys the company of other people. So they do, so much of their smell, the information they get from dogs is like crazy. They know how old they are. They know what they ate. They know their sexual proclivities. If they're neutered, of course, they know that. They know, they can smell the dog's emotion. As they're meeting, dogs will sense a dog that's frightened and or sad or happy or sociable, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, dogs really smell.
Is that the butt sniffing?
In the dog park, they immediately go to the butt, you know? I mean, they don't greet each other in the face very often. They just go right to the butt, and I guess they learn a lot. I mean, they don't sniff human butt, so.
Right. Well, no, they do. Oh, yeah. Okay. One of my dogs just would go right up. It's
really?
Like, her head was right there, so.
Okay, so much for theory, Rob.
I guess I've experienced that, too.
Yeah, everyone has a dog. But in my book, I list the 20 dogs communicate telepathically with each other. So there's a lot of information exchange, but there will be physical manifestations of communication. And in my book, I have the 20 signals that dogs give when they're meeting each other. And there's a lot that happens before they get to the
back end.
Yeah. There's 10 steps before that. You're like it. You're appreciate it when you next time you walk your buddy.
We always wonder what they would say if they could speak, you know, rather than just bark or yawn.
I book they talk.
Well, in my book, I really show there's different methods you can use to communicate with your dog that it really works for most people, mm-hmm. especially people like you writers who are probably, don't you feel that a lot of writing is channeled?
Yep, yes, of course. Yeah.
A lot of fiction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oftentimes, if I'm stuck or blocked, I just type a question and suddenly, you know, the answer comes.
Yeah. Isn't that it? Yeah. Right. You should do a whole show on that. I wrote a play on Ben Franklin, who's one of my favorite people. And I felt like Ben, the play's plot is that Ben Franklin shows up to a middle-aged writer and, wants her to write a play about his life. And like, well, Ben, you have so many great anecdotes, but you just don't have, there's no story. So it's called The Story of Ben Franklin. But I felt as if Ben Franklin was sitting next to me telling me what's right. And when I read it doesn't seem like me at all.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But was this play produced or?
No, not yet. I haven't even, I just got a reading, which was so much fun for me. It was just a blast. So I had a reading with real actors and stuff.
Oh, okay. Mercy. Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So why are dogs afraid of thunder?
Go back to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different theories, but I suspect that it has less to do with the noise and more to do with the electricity piling in the atmosphere. Because electricity, there's this book called The Invisible Rainbow. Some of your listeners might be interested, and it's the history of experimentation with shooting electricity into the human body. Ben Franklin was definitely a part in it, but it was fascinating. It's just unbelievable. We know so little about the subject, but it affects animals and people differently. Every body is different, and some bodies are extremely sensitive to electricity. Other bodies, not at all sensitive. Some are sensitive to different frequencies, levels. It goes on and on. So it's very hard to reach any one conclusion, but electricity is a very powerful, underappreciated in the world.
You read about teaching puppies or teaching your dog to walk without a leash. We've always done that too. Golden retrievers are great dogs. They would just carry the leash themselves if you put them on.
Right. Yeah.
Put it in their mouth.
You see that all the time. They're just
so cute.
They really are wonderful dogs.
So you think that's a good idea for dogs to be able to walk along with you without being on a leash?
Yeah, I think that if you don't, I don't know how to say this, but I think it's essential I think it not only it grows you when you do it, because you learn trust. You learn to trust your dog. So in the book, I take people step by step how to do that. Because honestly, all dogs need some off-leash time where they're not constrained by the leash. And it was really funny because I live in a place where leashes are the most important part of a person's relationship with their dog. I could never do it with a Newfoundland, even though Newfs are like retrievers. Mm-hmm. They do not need a leash ever. But I just thought I'm going to raise Pip, my little dog Pip, off leash without a leash. And I'd only put her on a leash when I absolutely had to. And oh my God, what a difference it makes. She's just, I think it's her nature too. She can really read a room. She understands every dog. If she's approaching an aggressive, vicious dog, she handles that. She's just like really smart with other dogs, but she seems a lot smarter than dogs just limited to their leash.
Do you think dogs develop relationships with cats?
Oh my God.
Especially the ones they live with.
There's so much going on. That's another thing. That's like a whole nother subject. Because cats are great conductors of energy. They transmute energy, shadow energy. They're just like masters at it. Dogs are good at it, but nothing like a cat. Huh. Dogs and cats both, they have relationships. They know each other. They communicate constantly. In my book, on the surface level, it will look like I mean, anyone who has cats and dogs gets that cats really are superior. And the dogs know it and they hate it. And the reason they hate it is because the cats get the better food and everyone's aware of it. The dog usually does not understand that. Why is the cat getting the better food? I know she loves me more. I know. That will really bother them. So I really recommend putting a little cat kibble, just a little bit, in the dog's food. It will mean.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have one black cat that Nigel, Nala, she really loves him. You know, when the other cats, she doesn't really care about, but Nigel is her pet.
Yeah, so goes up and rubs up.
Yeah, she really loves him.
Lays down next to him. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's so beautiful. Yeah, someone gave one of my newfs a kitten before, and they were just best buddies their whole life, loved each other. Yeah. But another newf I had hated cats and because this kid, we lived in a rural part of Orange County at that time. And for some reason, this man gave his 4-year-old boy, Sonny, the job of getting rid of the feral cats. And if he couldn't find homes for them, he was supposed to, which was so horrifying. There's no accounting for some people. But anyway, I opened my door and he literally threw the kitten into my house because, he was desperate. So I was screaming, no, my Panta doesn't like cats. She's not going to go for, I can't have a cat. But by the time he was down the street, my daughter had named the cat and stuck on it. And so I was kind of stuck. And then I had to learn what you do when the dog is aggressive towards the cat, how you can maintain that. So that was a big learning experience. Yeah. But we manage. Yeah. And then this is a funny story. One time there was a big fire in Laguna Beach. I mean, mass. It was the 92 fire. It was national news. But I lived way up on top of the hill. It's like 2 miles up a hill in a neighborhood called Top of the World. And mom left with my kids and some artwork. And it was just me. I had to go through every house to get the dogs because they weren't letting people back in to save their dogs. So I had to do it.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, it was awful. But you didn't want people to die, the way they think about it. So I got everybody's dog and I put him in my car. But my cat, this ornery old cat that, I just couldn't bear the idea that he might burn. So I'm calling him. And the flames are like 50 feet away and they're sky high. It's just, and I'm getting more panicked and frightened. And Panda, she got the whole situation, what was happening. She was so disgusted and irritated. She got out of the car. She went in the house and I ran back to the car to stop the other dogs from getting out. It was an old stop. And she goes in the house and she comes out with the cat in her mouth.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And I opened the door and she spit him out. And, nobody, all the animals understood this was
this was a rescue.
Yeah, this was a rescue. So.
God.
Yeah.
That's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the concept of dogs as mirrors?
Oh, my God. I could go on forever. Dogs are mirrors. And I do a lot of medical, because I'm being a yogi and I do a lot of energy work. I have a group of guides I meet with every day. They're called the Kamalgams. And I love them so much. They're very special beings, but they're just the greatest energy workers. So I try to do that. And then there's been this overlap with dogs. And what I have found is that if you're okay, I'll just try and give you the, because it's so exciting. When you match, when your chakra systems start pairing with the dog and there's an exchange of energy, everything's wonderful when it's love and joy and happiness and laughter, and you're outside and you're exercising and it's all the happy stuff. Mm-hmm. But some people, especially these days, it's so tragic. They are walking around with a lot of anger and even more fear. People are worried about this. They're afraid of that. They don't know what's happening. It looks disastrous. You know, just a lot of fear. Well, your dog will start absorbing that. And like I say, transmuting it. They send it through their paws into the earth. And the earth knows Mother Earth can handle whatever. So it's all good. Except when it gets to be too much, if there's just too much of it, it turns into a disease or a behavioral problem.
Mm. Mm.
And so whenever your dog, not always, I'm not going to say always because I would hear of exceptions, but often when your dog has an injury or an illness, it is actually a mirror to something going on with your energy system.
Trish, we thought about that with Nigel.
Yeah, I did. But see, I have an arthritic ankle. And about 6 months ago, Nigel started limping. I thought, he's got arthritis. Nigel, you don't need to get this. Let me have it. No, but he's still limping.
Yeah. Hey, that's very interesting because I have seen that where the dogs, they... What I'm talking about something a little different, but
yeah, I know you are. Just reminded me though.
My mom had an allergy to sunlight and
oh, God.
Her little dog got it. Just, you know, paws to the ground when you were moving from tree shade to sun. Huh. It was just the funniest thing. So there is that. That does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do a meditation and I'll tell you. You know, I'll try and see what's going on with
okay.
your. But for instance, this lady, she wanted me to do a reading on a horse. So this, she loved this horse, like her soul. And people say my soul animal, which just means they have a really powerful emotional connection to that being. And so her horse, Starlight, she got a wound in her left leg. And two vets, she had been through two vets and they were at a loss to how to treat it. It just wasn't getting better. So she asked me to look at it. And right away, I talked to the horse. I said, is this a mirror issue? And the horse was like, you can't. And so then I knew. And I just said, it can be this simple. I said, there is someone, a man, who has hurt you in your life. And it's someone, it's a hurt that you think you transcend it. You think it's all over, it's behind me. But it's not, it's still operating in your energy field. And she started crying. Her dad, she suffered horrible abuse. And she was an adult, and now she thought, yeah, it's the past. I'm all done. But she wasn't. It was still operating there. So she started therapy again, and 3 weeks into therapy, the wound on her horse healed up. And that's how it often works. It is often just obvious and simple.
Oh, good. I hope Nigel's is simple. Tell me what you pick up in your meditation.
I will. I'll write you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really curious.
So one of the things I noticed in your book that kind of surprised me about dogs is that hugging them does not necessarily mean you're giving them love. That's more like you're dominating them. I was surprised to read that.
Yeah, that's funny because I go through all the things that people do to dogs that dogs are like, oh my God, why are they
hugging me?
Yeah, they don't like being hugged. They love being rubbed, given them a good down. That's the way to do it. But them is a In the dog's mind, you're demanding submission, and then it causes them confusion because they also feel your love at that point. And they're like, why are they so confused? Do this to me. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's why Angel sometimes flips over on his side and he throws his legs up. It's like, okay, give me a belly rub. He loves that.
Yeah, he did. Usually dogs do that to cool off. But if you get a belly rub, it's like, oh, bonus. Yeah, they love that. The one that is the worst crime that humans do, that some people do with their dogs, which is kind of funny. There's two parts to it. Some people will grab their dog's head, lean in close, and just say, oh, I love you. And the dog is like frozen. Because dogs do not direct eye contact, it's torture for a dog. When a dog is staring straight at them, it says, you slide your eyes or I'm going to kill you. That's right. What the dog is saying. So they're like, why are you doing this? Forcing my head. And when people do it in anger, that's the point where I could get violent. Yeah. It's just wrong. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me. So you mentioned some light beings in your book, and one of them is Melchizedek. Who the Melchizedek, other than the Hebrew kind of Jesus, I guess?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. No, I'm so glad you asked this because I love Melchizedek. They're my guides. Yeah. Okay. Melchizedek is a collective energy system. There's three main, billions of light beings. And light beings will, for human beings, for us, which is different than, specific to human beings, we have the angelic realm. We have Melchizedek, and then we have the creator level beings. And connecting to all, there's a lot of overlap. Like Melchizedek, there's a lot of angelic beings in there. An angel is just a spirit being who has never incarnated. Why have they never incarnated into human form? They didn't have to. I once asked the Gamalgams, did you ever want to be a human? And they just fell over laughing. It was the fun. Like, why would we ever do that? So, Melchizedek does have a third of the beings there are angels, and a third are just very, very old souls who hold the wisdom, divine wisdom. And they once showed me this. It was the most beautiful sight I ever saw. You writers will all appreciate this. It was a library with shelves that were like as high as a skyscraper that went on forever. And it's just the ancient divine wisdom goes on forever. And that's what Melchizedek has come, is connecting to human beings to lift humanity. Because let's face it, we need it.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we really need it. And they appeared in the Bible, but like so many things in the Bible, it's they touch on something they really don't know much anything about. And for all you... I share this with people. If you are on a spiritual path, and we're all on a spiritual path, but if you want to amplify this, if you want to grow your soul faster, I recommend connecting to high light. Many people connect to their guidance, which is nice. Your guidance will help you and I don't know, hundreds of different ways. It's such a gift to be able to connect to your guides. But your guides, connecting to high light just accelerates your growth. And what happens is they connect to your consciousness. They make adjustments that facilitate your greater understanding and the holding of more light. So I recommend for people to connect to Melchizedek, because that's what they're here for. And it's a very, very easy to connect to him now. You can start by reading the channeled 12 texts through Paul Salick. And you just have to listen, like get the last book, Divine Union, and just listen to it. And they will zoom in, connect to your consciousness, even do it while you're sleeping. You don't have to be conscious for this. And they start altering your energy system to facilitate spiritual growth. You, wherever you are, your path. And that's another thing that is just so incredible, is that every path in the light, just think of it, it's unique. It's designed just for you. If you could look at your path, your the many lives you've had, you will have, you would see it, and you saw them laid up on top of each other. It would be the most beautiful artwork you could even imagine. It's so beautiful. We're all marching, you know, along. So connecting to high light will just really alter that for the better. And the other one is creator level beings, which someone I'm close to channels them. She's probably the greatest energy healer on the planet, Alicia Power. And you can find her at soulmentoring.com. All this is in my book, too. I explain it probably a lot better, hopefully a lot better than what I do. But I really recommend connecting to highlight, because it, just wherever you're at, it's going to make it even more interesting, more fun.
Now, so, explain what you mean by highlight.
That's something that, yeah, that's an interesting question. Just like there's octaves of love, grow in light, the amount of light your energy body is holding. And there's people like your dead Aunt Tilly, God love her, we love her, but she's probably not holding a lot of light. She's probably had as many lifetimes as you and has messed up as much as any of us. But when you go up in light, you're getting beings who have been there, done that, and seen it all. And they're to just facilitate this physical experience so that we can make this gift of a physical life, the most that we can.
So humans now, what we're supposedly doing is moving towards higher awareness, evolving. What about dogs, though? What is the dog's great purpose, greater purpose?
Love.
Yeah. My understanding is that I think I might have at one time in my life objected to this, but my understanding is that a dog's purpose is to serve us in love, to grow us in love.
Yeah. One of the best examples, one of the best examples of unconditional love ever is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Designed by God Source Light, the creator level. They knew we needed help. We would need help. And so they gave us these beautiful beings to join our lives with, and who just deliver love. They I know when we transition, we'll look back and realize that the best part of our life was walking the dog.
Going to the park.
Yeah, going to the park. Yeah. So,
okay. I guess we're coming to the end of our hour now.
Oh gosh, I haven't talked to you for hours.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
So, how can people reach you? I mean, you do readings for dog owners, right?
No, I just do. If you buy my book, here's a sad story. The writers here will appreciate this, I'm sure. I have many unpublished, not many, but like 3 unpublished children's novels that I love. And I would just love to get out there. But because my last books didn't sell that well.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, see, we all know.
We've gone through that.
And I got 86, and I can, it's hard to.
Self-publish it.
No, I when you self-publish, you just end up begging your friends and family to buy your book. Yeah.
And they might get 50 sales in a year.
That's true. But sometimes people who don't know you, have never read you, discover your books.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Especially for children's books, I would think.
Yeah. We will see. You know, I'm just that if this book, and also I have a wonderful publisher. They're just like one of the greatest publishers I ever had. And I would like to, you know, at least make back the advance and stuff. So,
You've got a good publicist, too.
Yeah, I got a publicist.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had that before. With romance novels, when you're writing trash, you do not need a publicist. They're just going to fly off the shelf. But when you're writing something else. So anyway, if people send me, you can find on my subs. I have a Substack. You can just JJ Flowers Substack. It should come up. Spiritualist explains it all, the wisdom of the channel text. So you can go there. But if you buy my book, The Spiritual Dog, which if you love dogs, I promise you, you will love this book.
That's a great book.
Just like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, it's fun to read. So, I mean, it's just a lifetime and my guidance. It just makes you see your dog for a special light, so you know what's really going on.
John, I sent you the book, right?
Yeah.
In PDF.
But I get readings for free, and if you buy my book, I'll give you a free reading.
No, that's nice.
But I just remember, you get what you pay for.
We will promote this. For sure. And maybe a way, for me, the way to end this is, I love you, Tyler. I don't know where you're at, but I'm coming to see you. So,
yeah, same here. I love the Nika and the Noah.
And Jesse.
Jesse.
No.
22 cats buried in my backyard. It's just.
That's the problem with dogs. They don't live long enough.
Yeah. I only had 8 years with Tyler, but he was the best doggo ever. He was the best. He was the most human soul I've ever known, that dog. Yeah.
Thank you, JJ.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening, and stay mystical.